You're listening to Hello Vancouver, a weekly half-hour show about life and public affairs on the north side of the Columbia River. I'm Temple Lentz, and this is Hello Vancouver. Thanks for joining us. Now, it's the middle of July, and it may be the middle of summer here, but in Washington State, it is also election season. Unlike the state of Oregon, which has their primaries in May, Washington has ours in August. And because of the way the calendar falls this year, our primary election is on August 1st. Clark County, Washington voters should have received their voter's pamphlet in the mail by now, and ballots are going to be mailed on or about July 14th, I believe. And if you haven't received your ballot by July 20th and you are in one of the jurisdictions that has a primary election, then you need to contact the auditor's office so you can get your ballot. Now, I say some of the jurisdictions that have a primary election because not every election that we'll see on the ballot in November will be on our ballot in August. There are some races that only have two candidates, so they don't need to have a primary race. Both of those candidates will go through to the general. And so you're not going to see everybody on your ballot this primary. One of the races that is not going to be on your primary ballot is the race for Port of Vancouver Commissioner, District 1. That there are two candidates for that race, and they're just both going to go through to the general. Now, if there had been multiple candidates, then that race would have had a district-wide primary, followed by a general county-wide, or actually port district-wide, election for that seat. Now they're just both going to go through, and all of the voters in the Port of Vancouver taxing district will see those candidates on their ballots in November. But to get a head start on things, we had an interview with each of the candidates who are running for this position, Chris Green and Don Orange. Both of these guys have been around town for quite some time, and they're running with different platforms and different positions on the future of the Port of Vancouver. Now, for any of you who may not be avid followers of what's going on at the Port of Vancouver and why this is a race that matters, a little bit of history about the Port of Vancouver. So in the town of Vancouver, Washington, the port was actually founded in 1912, and it's a deep water port because it's at a part of the Columbia that is a deep water port, and it has five different terminals along with the largest mobile harbor crane in North America that generally will be used to unload wind equipment. And if you're driving around in the Vancouver area, you will often and see some of this these wind turbine equipment coming down Mill Plain Boulevard on trucks from the port. It's actually, while it holds up traffic, it's actually kind of really cool to see. So there are five different terminals. Terminal 1 is the original port terminal, and we talk about that in the different interviews because after many, many years, that terminal is being redeveloped as waterfront property. So it's not the Vancouver waterfront development that is being talked about quite a bit. It's just next to that, and it's right next to the I-5 bridge. It's where the Red Lion at the Quay Hotel and Restaurant has been, and it's going to be redeveloped now by the port. So that is an active area for the Port of Vancouver right now. The port has a number of tenants in a variety of different industries, from the American Steamboat Company that runs river cruises to Anderson Dairy to Brewcraft USA doing brewing to Country Malt. A lot of malt and brewing supplies go out of the port. Great Western Malting is one of those. And Subaru. Also, we do a lot of car importing from Subaru, comes through the Port of Vancouver. At the area of the port known as Terminal 5, one of the hottest topics over the last few years has been the Vancouver Energy Project, which is slated for that terminal spot. And what that is a partnership between Tesoro and Savage Oil Companies, and they are proposing to build a crude oil transit hub at the port with crude by rail uploading and marine loading. The joint venture between Tesoro and Savage has become known as Vancouver Energy, and it has gone through an extensive process of application and review. It's currently now with FSEC, which is the Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council. It's a state agency that reviews projects like this, and then they'll make a recommendation to the governor about whether or not to approve this project. It has been with FSEC for quite some time, And now we are waiting on FSEC's recommendation so the governor can make a decision. This is an issue which has sharply divided the community, and it's not necessarily just a left and right issue, but there are many people who don't want the oil terminal in Vancouver, and there are many people who do. And the race for port commissioner a couple of years ago for a different seat than the one that's up this year largely focused on the oil terminal. And that race was largely decided. The candidate who won was not in favor of the oil terminal, and he's been a sharp opponent of it. Now, this year, we have another race for another seat on the Port Commission, and the oil terminal is proving to be another issue in this race, although it is a very strong possibility that the issue will be decided by the time the general election comes around. I'm really happy that both candidates agreed to come on the show and share a little bit about themselves and talk about their platforms and what they believe in and what they think they're going to bring to the seat. And let's just get started with Chris Green running for Port of Vancouver Commissioner, District 1. I am joined right now by Chris Green, who is running for commissioner for the Port of Vancouver, District 1. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Temple. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is great to have you. And this election for the port is coming up here. The primary will be in August and the general election will be in November. And of late, while the port has never really been a very contentious or big issue in Vancouver, Clark County, the last election for the port commissioner, an election a couple of years ago, ended up getting a lot of attention. And so a lot of attention is on this race as well, which I'm very happy that you were able to come and spend some time and talk with me about it. And we're going to be talking with your opponent as well. And just want to give you guys a chance to share who you are and talk with our audience.
Great. Great.
So first of all, like I said, the port commission isn't an office that a lot of people until pretty recently have been very aware of. So from your perspective, can you talk a little bit about what the role of the port in Vancouver is, and then also what the role of a commissioner is?
Sure, sure. One of the biggest roles for the port is to have a lot of economic development in our community, in the Southwest Washington region. So there's a lot of shipping, importing, exporting of product, and obviously there's a lot of job activity that goes on at the port. There's over 3,200 jobs, which I believe is a 40% increase since 2010. And that's the goal of the port, or the mission of the port, is to get people working. So that's part of what the port does. Part of what a commissioner does is to help guide the staff to do those things that the port does. We make decisions, or we help the port make decisions on the different types of companies that come into the port, and also assisting them in developing land on the port property and things of that nature, growing new family wage jobs.
So what is your background?
Well, my background is insurance. I've been a risk manager for almost 25 years in the insurance industry. I've held and operated my own business here in the Clark County area since 1998. I ran a insurance agency previous to my State Farm agency for a number of years. And, my background is also in community service. I've done a lot of work with the Evergreen School District Foundation, and I've also done an extreme amount of work with the Evergreen or the East Vancouver Business Association, been involved with Rotary, been involved with the Greater Vancouver Chamber of Commerce. I could keep going on. So I'm pretty active in the community. I think I'm well known in the community. I love to build relationships, and I love to be loyal to those relationships because they are important to me.
So what attracted you to running for this position?
Well, it's the next evolution. It's the next step for me personally to have an impact, a positive impact, a thoughtful impact on our community. Building and bringing new family wage jobs is incredibly important. And that legacy that I can build with this community is so important, because we should be able to provide jobs for our college students, our high school students, and keep growing those jobs. So it has a major positive impact on our community for generations to come.
So you're talking a lot about family wage jobs. What are some of the types of jobs and work that the port brings to the Vancouver area?
They bring a lot of skilled labor jobs at this point, which is great. And there's going to be a need. There is a shortage right now in construction folks, in welders, in sheet metal workers. So partnering with the community, partnering with the school districts, you know, letting them know of the opportunities that the port has and will have in the future is one of my missions. In fact, it's number 5 on my pillars, on my platform. Is to expand the policy that port businesses contribute to a wide range of business-linked educational programs for Vancouver, Clark County, and all of Southwest Washington.
So you're talking a bit about your pillars and sort of your platform positions. Education is one of them. What else are you looking to achieve by running for Port Commission?
So obviously growth and development, bringing new family wage jobs. Part of that is developing properties on and off port property. That we have a lot of opportunities to take advantage of making ground shovel ready to attract new businesses. I've done some research with several commercial real estate agents in the area, and they're telling me that right now we have a 99% plus occupancy rate, and we're turning away businesses that want to move and locate to this region, but there's nothing ready for them to take advantage of. So that's going to be one of my goals as a commissioner, is to help develop land, find land that we can develop. And I believe we're having some great conversations with a lot of the folks in the region about just doing that.
Is that within the scope of the Port Commission's charter, as far as looking beyond the port property to develop land and business?
It can be. And it's something, again, that's open for discussion, and it needs to be open for discussion. I think it's important that the port is able to expand its boundaries if need be. And I think it's important also that the port partners with private land developers to work together to achieve a common goal, making land ready, shovel ready for businesses that want to move to the region.
Is that something that you feel the port hasn't done a good job of to date?
No, I don't think that they have really had a conversation openly about that, at least not from the research that I've done. Now, they are developing property on the port. They're building a 125,000 square foot building as we speak. It'll come online probably within the next 2 years, but that's just one project. And I believe, you know, if you take a look at Terminal 1, we've got all the hotels that'll be going in. They just got that approved with the city council. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity and there's a lot of growth already in the works. So I think that as we look at 20, 30 years down the road, we're going to have to look at other land areas or other opportunities on and off port property.
You just mentioned Terminal 1, mm-hmm. which, for those who don't know, is right by the bridge over the Columbia River, right by the I-5 bridge. It's where the Red Lion at the Quay used to be, and Warehouse 23 currently is a restaurant and event space. And yeah, the city council just approved plans to develop Terminal 1. Can you talk a little bit about what the plans are for that? I know you're not on the commission now. You didn't actually develop these plans, but
no.
Talk about them and what you see as positives and negatives about the plan they have.
Well, I wouldn't say that there's a lot of negatives. I think it's all positive as far as the growth and the opportunities for new jobs. New development always brings new jobs, construction jobs, and then also the jobs that will come from the businesses that will be down there, the hotel that will be down there. I think it'll complement the area. It'll attract other conventions possibly in the future. So those are all good things. As far as the negative, I have to do more research to see if what the negative and what, you know, growth. With growth, you always have some positive and some negative. A little bit more traffic, probably. There's an issue right there that needs to be looked at as well.
One of the issues that made the last race for port contentious was the Tesoro Savage oil transfer terminal. And that was basically that there are parts of the community that are very much for that terminal, and there are parts of the community that are very much against it. And that ended up being a lot of what decided that race. Now we are basically waiting on the governor's determination about whether or not that terminal is going to go through. Where do you stand? on that?
Well, this is where I stand. You know, at this point, it is still in FSEC's hand, not necessarily the governor yet, but it will be in the governor's hands. And my opinion is it's probably going to happen sooner than later that that decision is going to be made. And I believe that the port needs to be ready, whether we get it or whether we don't get it. So if the governor says that we get it, and then the contract with Vancouver Energy and Tesoro becomes a 10-year automatic contract, we have to make sure that the port is the safest port on the planet, period. We have to work with the unions. We have to work with the tenants. We have to work with Vancouver Energy to make sure it's safe. If we don't get it, we have to have a plan that's going to take over Terminal 5. They've put in almost 56 miles of track line, of which currently we're only utilizing 15%. That's 85% that we need to come up with utilization for. Well, I've already started talking with several of the tenants there at the port that are very interested in taking over if the terminal is not built. So there is a long-range plan that the port needs to develop if we don't get it. So that's my position, is whether we have it, whether we don't, we have to be prepared. And I know how to do that, just by building relationships with the current tenants and working with both sides of the issue. And wait, that's a big issue right there in itself. You mentioned, you know, a lot of people are for it, a lot of people are against it. Well, we have to harmonize with each other. We have to build those relationships back up, whether we get it or not. And that's going to be a big goal of mine, is to mend those fences, mend those relationships that have been devastated by FSEC's lack of getting this approved in a timely manner. 5 years to approve a project. That's horrible timing. And it says regionally, it's bad for our region. It's bad for the state of Washington, because now they've thrown out the gauntlet that we're really not open for business. We are open for business, and we will be open for business. But how many companies, how many industries do you know of that can withstand a 5-year process to get approved or denied? Not too many. And that's a hot topic for me. And I believe FSEC needs to be reorganized, and this whole approval process needs to be re-examined, because it's inappropriate for any governmental agency to take this long to approve a project or disapprove a project. Something else to throw out there.
Yeah. If the project isn't approved, would you, as a port commissioner, if you were elected and the terminal isn't approved, would you seek other fossil fuel-based industries to come to the port? Would you look for another oil terminal of some kind?
Again, that would be up to the staff's, you know, that's their process. They would go out and look for whatever would be more suitable. I know that there are tenants at the port that have interest in that property. So we would have to take a look at each situation as it comes up, each vendor or each industry or each company that has an interest in that terminal.
In your perspective, what are the qualifiers? What would make a business a good candidate to be a tenant at the port?
Well, the port handles a lot of things. You know, they handle grain, they handle ammonia, they handle ethanol, they handle gas. Gas has been handled down at the port for over 30 years without an accident, not one single accident, not even a spill. We have to look at ways to bring, like I said, the companies that we attract need to bring the jobs with them. So safety is always a big concern. I mean, we have to have a safe port. And I believe we have a lot of technology out there to make the industries out there safe when they come to the port. There's a lot of things that the port can do, and there's a lot of things that the staff can do to attract businesses that are going to be successful and safe here in Vancouver.
What's something that you think that you see at the port happening now that you would want to change or improve that maybe isn't where you'd like to see it?
More land development. When you take a look at you know, the 125,000 square foot building that they're building, which is great. It's awesome. We should have more of that. We should be looking at, you know, preparing, you know, to, well, you know, 5 years ago when we had the economic downturn, or 7 years ago, I think the port may have missed the boat a little bit there when they didn't start planning on all the growth that we have today. You know, a 99% rate of occupancy for businesses between looking for 20 or 5,000 up to 25,000 square feet of space. We need to be looking further ahead and be prepared for economic, movement, positive movement, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. So that would be an area that I would want to see change.
What is your opinion of the relationship between the Port of Vancouver and the City of Vancouver?
You know, I think the port has a good relationship with the city. They may disagree at times, but at the same time, as a commissioner of the port, I would make sure that we have open communication, that our relationship is there, and it's going to be a relationship based on making sure that we're talking. We may disagree, and that's fine. Everybody does. And that's just part of, moving forward, moving our community forward. We're never going to agree on everything 100%, and that's fine. We just have to have those open communication. We have to have that open understanding, and I believe we will.
Excellent, because it seems like with the cities and the private waterfront development going in, with Terminal 1 on one side of it and possibly the oil terminal on the other side of it, that navigating port and Vancouver relationships could get kind of tricky.
Well, again, it comes down to that clarity. That's another platform, pillar on my platform. Having that open communication, having that good process in place so that, if something ever does happen, that we are working together to take care of it. But I don't know if you know the statistics on the last failure of a terminal. It's been over 80 years in the United States.
Oh, wow.
The technology's there if we get it. But if we don't get it, like I said, we have to have the ability to to backfill, so to speak, the jobs and the bringing in companies or utilizing the existing tenants. And that takes communication. That takes building relationships. So the city is a part of that. They just approved Terminal 1. So there's obviously good communication going on there.
One of the things that was also in the news recently, and this does relate to the oil terminal, but it's actually about the open records and open public meetings is what I want to talk about. While the port commissioners were discussing the lease for the oil terminal a while ago, they had some private meetings that it has just come down that the state said, yeah, those actually should have been held in public. And what I'm interested in finding out about from you is seeing this transparency issue, whether one agrees or disagrees with whether those meetings about the oil terminal lease should have been held publicly. The port is a public port. So if you are elected and come into this job, how will you approach open public meetings and that transparency issue with the community?
Right. And clarity, as simple as that word is, it's all about being clear, being open. We're not going to have any closed doors meetings. I mean, that's just not the way I operate. That's a good way to ruin relationships. So that to me will never happen. I won't allow it. Simple as that.
What else? Is there something else on your platform that you're thinking about with your candidacy? What else do people need to know about you?
That's a great question. I am very dedicated to Vancouver. I love this area. We've lived here for almost 20 years. My three children have graduated or are enrolled at Union High School, Clark College. My wife and I are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary next year. I want to be in Vancouver. It's the best place in the world to be. And I've lived all over the United States. I've had the opportunity to live on the East Coast and the West Coast. And I got to tell you, this is a gem. And I will do the best I can as the Port Commissioner to do the job that the Port Commissioner needs to do. And that is to bring family wage jobs, help the community grow, build relationships with everybody, with all concerned parties, with the unions, with the tenants, with the City of Vancouver, with Clark county councilors, everybody. And one of the things I will do as a commissioner is I will be out in the community. As you know, I'm out there now, and I'm going to stay out there. And the more I know about what the community is looking for, the better commissioner I'm going to be. So those are some of the things I want people to know about me. I'm open. I love building relationships. I'm loyal to those relationships, as you can see by the list of endorsements that I have. I walk the talk and I talk the walk, and I will be a fabulous commissioner for this for the Port of Vancouver.
Well, I have one final question for you. That's kind of more of a fun one, and I'll ask you the question, and then I'll say your website here for folks to hear while you, I'll give you 2 seconds to think about the question. Chris, you've said, and I know that you are very involved in the community and out and about, and a lot of people know you. So what is one thing that people don't know about you?
Oh, okay. That's an easy one.
Okay. Well, so folks, if you want to hear more about Chris Green, go to goforgreen.com, and that's Green with an E. So it's goforgreene.com. Chris, what is one thing that people in this community do not know about you?
Well, I will say some people know this about me, but not everybody
knows
this.
You're already not answering the question. Okay. But, okay.
Okay. Well, I am the 7th child of a family of 13.
Well,
pretty interesting. And let me add why it's interesting. I'm the oldest of the youngest.
What?
I'm the oldest of the youngest and the youngest of the oldest. I was the middle child of 13. So because of that experience, I have learned to work with people pretty much better than any of my other siblings.
And probably also learned how to fight for the bathroom, too.
Well, it's really funny. This is funny. Okay, so I'm a little chubby. Been that way my entire life. And that's because when my brothers and sisters, when we sat down to eat dinner, most of them would go for the largest piece of meat or the largest potato. And they never, not everybody ever got that, right? I always went for the second largest. Got it 100% of the time.
Well, here we go. We have rules for living,
yes,
from Chris Green. Chris Green is running for Port of Vancouver Commissioner in District 1. It is the only port race up in Vancouver this year, so that's the one to look for. The website is goforgreen.com, green with an E. Chris, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I loved it.
And that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to Chris Green for joining us and talking about his candidacy for Port of Vancouver Commissioner, District 1. On the next show, we'll talk with his opponent, Don Orange, running for the same position, Port of Vancouver, District 1. This has been Hello Vancouver. I'm Temple Lentz, and you can find out more about Hello Vancouver, including our live stage show, at hellovancouver.us. Thank you so much for listening.